Have you ever said something that you instantly regret saying? Look, we've all been there. And intelligence activist Amy K. Hutchins has made it her mission to help leaders communicate better. In this episode, you'll learn how everything you say either helps or hurts, why you need to stop using the word why in tough conversations, the difference between a reactionary response and a thoughtful response, the importance of creating a reduction of suffering in your communication, both online and offline, and tools, real tools, to start and navigate through difficult conversations. Amy K was a former executive of a billion-dollar global consumer products company, and she was awarded the Vistage UK International Speaker of the Year. She is a dynamic, energetic catalyst for driving businesses forward faster. With over 100 presentations per year, Amy K travels the globe sharing with executives, influencers, and go-getters how to confidently and competently navigate their toughest conversations without saying something they regret, giving their power away, or damaging their relationships. With humor, insight, and experience, she engages and inspires audiences to master the power of profitable conversations. If you dig this podcast, please stay in the loop by signing up for my weekly emails. Sign up today at rubyframon.com/subscribe. Now, whether you're new to this podcast or you are a loyal thought leader, please make sure you take a moment to download a few episodes and drop a rating review on iTunes. Now it is time to learn how to navigate your toughest conversations with Amy K. Hutchins. Welcome to today's Thought Leader, where I'm challenging you to rise up, speak up, and create a movement. I'm your host, Ruby Fremon, and I'm here as a catalyst for you, the new generation of thought leaders. I'm a kick-ass life coach, a bullshit detector, and courageous communicator. I'll show you how to gain visibility, build a cult following, and create impact while increasing your income. Join me every week as I dive into raw and real conversations that will help you amplify your presence, influence, and impact. It's time to unapologetically do what you're here to do and do it your way. So get ready, thought leaders, and let's make shit happen. Hey, thought leaders, I am back. And I know I say this all the time, how excited I am, but I'm like really excited for this conversation because I feel like I'm talking to the queen of conversations. Amy K. Hutchins is here, an intelligence activist, and like I said, queen of conversations or queen of difficult conversations. So I'm really excited to dive into our conversation so we can talk to our listeners about how to have healthier, more profitable, more dynamic, easier, more fun conversations. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Let's do this. Let's dive in.
So I just deemed you the queen of conversations. Do you feel like that's a fit name?
Probably more like jester. I don't know about you. I can't make fun of you yet because I don't know you well enough. But have you ever had like one of those conversations where the words will leave your mouth and you'll be like, probably shouldn't have said that. Like, that's my world.
Yeah. Or I mean, that's like happened maybe way too many times for me to count.
And I was the one always that was sort of like, you know, 5 hours later after the tough conversation, when you're swirling your cocktail at the bar, you're like, oh, I should have said, but it's like way too late. So, yeah. You know, that's probably something that has really led me to do what it is that I do. And that's because, you know, I didn't always know my own sense of self-worth and I didn't always know how to use my voice. And we all say kind of goofy stuff. So it's like when we can figure out that that's human and then we can still play better, mm-hmm. It can change our lives. And it's not trite. It's actually true. I believe that life happens one conversation at a time.
Yeah. And I love that. I love that. I saw that on your website and yeah, it's so true. And I feel like every conversation we also learn from, whether it's we learn more about the other person, we learn more about ourselves, if we allow ourselves to, of course, if we take responsibility. But I totally resonate and relate to your story as well, because my entire journey has been one of finding my voice and really unleashing that. And now this is the work that I do with my clients. And I think it's also a really interesting time that we're living in with social media and everyone being trigger happy with their fingers and responding really quickly from a reactive place. And for our listeners who are really conscious leaders, conscious entrepreneurs, it can be really easy to get wrapped up in the reactive state.
It's true. Yeah. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No. So I would love to hear more about how you approach that, because I think that it's just something that we're seeing time and time again online in the online space. And like, I had an experience this past week where someone was reactive on my post and it almost brought me into a reactive state, but at least I could press delete and really like think about what I wanted to write. I'm a conscious leader now. So I think about things, but yeah, I would love to hear your thoughts on that, on communicating from a reactive state.
Okay, so let's unpack that a little bit, because there's a couple layers in there. And I think one is, the first is, you're absolutely allowed to react internally. Like, that's, give yourself the grace that you're human, that you might have a trigger, maybe something disappoints you, or you get frustrated, or you get angry, or you get hurt. But it's the, what do you do with that? How do you channel that? Can you count to 1,000, you know, get up to 6, take a deep breath, and then say, so what's the most thoughtful response? Like, how do I really want this to play out? How do I choose my words carefully? And so I think that realizing that as a conscious leader, using your voice to make an impact rather than to just have a reaction is the first thing that we're going to shift. Mm-hmm. And then to think about those words, because everybody's really, really sensitive to semantics. Yes. So for instance, just kind of like a really kind of a fun, magical phrase that I love to use is a part of me. So instead of saying like, I'm angry or I'm hurt, mm-hmm. a part of me is disappointed in hearing that, or a part of me was disappointed by this choice, which leaves all kinds of space and wiggle room for all these other emotions. Mm. So one of the things that I'll say is, even online, when you're starting to realize that it's not good for you, it's not healthy for you, or somebody else is just being what I call that lazy louse, because it's so easy to like be like, da 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 da, and I'm anonymous. Versus right. having to own your words and your actions is to just realize too that, okay, a part of me might be triggered by this, but a part of me wants to respond more thoughtfully, right? So mm-hmm. you can even have that internal conversation with yourself. And then when you go online, you know, with your entire audience, you could say, you know, a part of me found this upsetting, but here's what I want to say in response. You will earn more respect from your followers than if you just lamb blast back.
Right. Yeah. And that's...
I know.
Take a deep breath, because it's so easy to go into the reactive state, right? And I love that you said you're allowed to react internally. I just published an episode about this, about being triggered and how like we need to remove the shame around being triggered, because we're human and it's normal. But it's what we do in that state of feeling like we are in reacting. It's like, what do we do in that moment? How do we choose to communicate? Do we choose to communicate? I mean, are there ever times when we really should just walk away?
Yes. And I think that there are times when you have to realize too, that you don't have to respond to everybody online. I mean, that's the other thing too, is that we have this false myth that everybody deserves our time and attention. No, sometimes you have to ask yourself, is this a conversation worth having? Like, to me, that is one of those just fundamental things that I'll ask myself before I get all like, I'll be like, is this really where I want to channel my energy? Is this a conversation worth having? And here's the difference. Here's what I always look at. Ruby, if you want to make a point, if you want to do it for the principle of the thing, don't do it. Mm-hmm. If you want to do it because you can talk to yourself and say, okay, part of the human conditioning or the human condition is that we're all going to suffer. Mm-hmm. We're all here suffering. Every single one of us is walking wounded. Every single one of us, as Anne Lamott would say, is an injured bird, mm-hmm. right? And so if I'm going to have this conversation, then how do I reduce the suffering? Now, it may not be the reduction of suffering of the person who wrote something that's triggered you, but it could be the reduction of suffering in your audience. So in other words, your response can help. It can teach. it could shift a mindset or a perspective. And so if you really want to respond thoughtfully and help all of your followers, then absolutely that's a conversation worth having. But if you're really just like, this person's being nasty, then I'd be like, well, either then respond and teach or don't respond.
I love that you said reduction of suffering. And you brought the audience into it because, yeah, this is all public and you see it. And we've all seen those threads that make you want to cringe, like on Facebook, where you look at it and you're like, oh my God, this is a train wreck. Oh my God, it's getting worse. Oh my God, it just went there. And that doesn't serve anyone. And it kind of makes everyone involved look like an asshole. So,
and it also gives permission for people to behave badly. Right. So that's the other thing, that the unintended consequence of participating in that is that what you're also subconsciously or not so subconsciously telling people is it's okay to have this type of discourse. It's okay to say horrible, nasty things. And you don't want to be a part of that. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't stand up to bullies and haters. That's a whole different, because now you're reducing the suffering for your audience. What I'm just saying is that every now and then, it doesn't happen very often because I live in a pretty positive, supportive environment. Like I'm provocative in a lot of ways, but not in ways that are as controversial as what other platforms are. But every now and then, I will get kind of a surprising comment. And years ago, when social media was new, our entire team would be like, just delete. Now you realize you don't delete those comments, either ignore them or you respond softly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. I think the mentality back in the day was delete the comments, but now it really turns into, is there a possibility for me to teach something to my audience here? For me, I look at it as I am being the example. And so I want to model something that I would love to see in my clients or in my audience members. And like sometimes deleting it is like copping out. Like, let's take that as an opportunity to grow if there's an opportunity and it's not just some like guy posting a dick pic, which I've had. And those I delete.
Those we delete. We delete. But you know, I'll give you a real world story. And this is my vulnerability because obviously this is a learning curve and I make mistakes still to this day. Like just because I teach it doesn't mean I still don't need to learn it.
Wait, you're not perfect?
Oh my God, I know. It drives me crazy sometimes. But, you know, So one of the things that happened last fall was my dad was in ICU at LA for 5 days. And it was the classic 5 days of, you know, you're thinking you're going to say goodbye to your dad. You haven't slept for 5 days. Now, thank goodness he's fine. He's totally healthy. He ended up recovering. But we had like the code blue and everything. And in the middle of all that, I get this thing on social media from a guy who literally set up a Twitter account for the sole purpose of telling me what a jerk I was because I hadn't tipped him and I was stupid enough to leave my business card. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm not in that city. This isn't even me. Like somebody else must have left a business card that I'd handed them at some point. But this wasn't even my experience. And I just called Mandy, who runs our social media, and I was like, just delete it. Like, just, this is ridiculous. And what I realized in hindsight was that actually would have been a conversation worth having. Had I taken the time to have a thoughtful response and not a reactionary one, I could have said, you know, I don't know who you are and I don't know how this happened. Clearly something went wrong, but I actually, one of my core values is generosity. Like my core value is I'm always tipping 20, 25% or more. So this clearly couldn't have been me. But here's what I learned. I wasn't practicing what I preach. I was so exhausted, no excuse, but that was my story. I'm so exhausted, I don't have time to deal with this. And yet, that would have been a beautiful opportunity to reduce suffering for him and my audience. And I just lost that opportunity. So I'm just sharing that a part of the thinking behind a tough conversation is how do I reduce the suffering? And that kind of leads me into another principle, which is anything that you do, in a conversation, anything that you say can only do one of two things. It either helps or it hurts. There is no such thing as neutral in a conversation ever. Your comment either supports or detracts from where you want to go.
That's so true. Everything that every word that comes out of our mouth in a conversation can either support or detract.
Absolutely. And when people are like, well, what do you mean there's no neutral? What if I were just like, I nod my head? That nodding either helps or it hurts by not moving the conversation forward. And so a lot of times people will give me tremendous pushback, but like, oh, I don't know. Why can't you just say, okay, or I agree. And I'm like, well, think about it. You're either literally moving the goal, the objective, the emotions you're wanting to connect forward, or you're detracting from it. And even a stagnating comment doesn't help. And there's no such thing as neutral.
Yeah. And it's so polarizing to even think, like, everything that we say helps or hurts. And so I can understand why people would get defensive about that because a lot of people like to think that they're staying neutral.
Right.
A lot of people like to people please, appease the masses, fit in, have a fear of judgment. And yet at the same time, this is either helping or hurting. And for my personal story has always been like one of people pleasing, which I know a lot of people deal with. And what's interesting is that as I continued in my life journey, people pleasing, the person that was hurting the most was me. You know, I was hurting the most. And so this was actually hurting me. And on top of that, I realized it was also then in some way hurting the people around me because I wasn't showing up in my truth and I wasn't speaking my truth and I wasn't sharing my truth. And that can hurt when people want just to experience the real you. When we translate that into, you know, the online space or like entrepreneurship or leadership, I think a lot of people carry that people pleasing into that space because they want to be liked. Like, I want to be seen as a leader that everyone likes. I want to be that entrepreneur that everyone likes. And yet it's so damaging to yourself. And then I think to the audience too, right?
Well, I think you give up a sense of self-respect when you can't draw a boundary. I mean, I think, and I think for entrepreneurs, it's really hard to understand sometimes that no thank you is the complete sentence.
Right.
And that's part of a tough conversation too. And sometimes it's the transparency. So as a fellow entrepreneur, so I've had my company for 18 years, I very much started it with the, I want everybody to like me. Like I'm a speaker, you know, I show up on stage, I'm vulnerable in front of like thousands of people and I want them to like me. And what's so funny for me that I had to realize was that no matter what I do, no matter what I say, there is a very small handful of people and huge audiences that are just not going to like me. For whatever reason, I trigger something in them. So it doesn't matter sometimes, you know, let's just say easy math because I'm not great at math. 100 people are in the audience, you know, 99 will say, oh my God, I loved it. She's like totally one of my peeps. I'd go for a glass of wine with her. That was so helpful and informative. And then there's one that's just like, can't stand her. And
right.
I used to obsess on that. Well, why didn't he or she like me? You know, what did I do? And then you realize there's nothing you can do except love, honor, and respect yourself. You don't have to go out and people please to try to make 100 people think you're fabulous. If you're you, you'll find your peeps and they will value and appreciate who you are. And those that don't, that's just not where you're synergistically fit to play. So I think that part of the conversation that you have to have with yourself is not everybody wants to be in your sandbox. And that's okay, because there are plenty of people who will be in your sandbox. And the only thing that you really have to do to protect yourself is, rather than people pleasing, is just make sure that when the poop falls into your sandbox, you shovel it out pretty quickly.
So basically we're all turning into cats. Okay. Got it. But yeah, it's so true. And it's a hard truth to swallow, really.
Well, it's easier said than done. And I think that that's part of the problem with the conversation online is that we've been manipulated, and I use that word purposefully. We've been manipulated, literally the dopamine effect in our brain to see the like, the thumbs up, the heart. We get the same chemical reaction in our brain as if you had a gambling win at a casino or you took a hit of like nicotine. It's the same response in the brain of that addiction response to, oh, I have 10,000 followers who like me, or 42 people saw my video, or whatever number you're on.
Yeah.
It's dangerous. It's a dangerous addiction. And so you have to recognize that that is not reflective of your self-worth.
Mm. Yeah. And again, like easier said than done. And I think a lot of people are on this journey, especially when you go into entrepreneurship, because now it's like you're putting yourself out there in a different way and you're showing up for something that feels of importance to you. Right. And then really accepting that hard truth of not everyone is going to like you. Now, this isn't just in the online space. You know, I started off with the online because I think a lot of our listeners struggle with that. This also really happens in the offline space, and yes, whether it's with clients that you need to have a difficult conversation with. Maybe you're stuck in the people-pleasing mode with clients because you just want to keep them, or there's like a fear of losing them if you actually have the hard conversations. Or in your relationships, family members who don't understand what you're doing. You know, I don't understand this entrepreneurial stuff. What is a coach? I don't get it. And I might be saying my own story. And
this is great. So here's a really great tip. So this is one of the things I love about what I do. The best way to start a tough conversation is with a way to connect, something that you agree on. So for instance, like somebody comes to you and they're like, Ruby, I don't even get what a coach is. You say, well, we all agree that there's some adult in our past that gave us really great insight and advice and cared about us so that we could become our best selves, right? Like, do you have somebody like that in your life? And they'll be like, yeah, it was Uncle Dave, or, oh, it was Joe the neighbor, or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's where you start. You start making it with a connection that everybody can relate to. Or somebody will say something like, I don't understand why you're like leaving this safe job, Ruby, to like go off and be an entrepreneur. And then you say, well, can we agree that we both want me to be happy? Or can we agree that we both want me to utilize my gifts and talents in the best way that I can? And they're like, oh, of course I do. And they'll say, well, that was part of my decision in becoming an entrepreneur. This is a way for me to express my biggest gifts and talents. Like, if you can just find that one place to connect and align from the beginning, a tough conversation can go a lot smoother. Now, that's just one step.
Right.
But really, it's a brilliant way to start a tough conversation.
Yeah, that really is. I love, can we agree? I love that. I think that's super powerful and connect, you know, because they're coming into it with a sense of disconnect. And so I think it's brilliant to start with the connection point. And then what?
And then how might we? So then what I love to do is I love to include adults in the decision-making process in a conversation or in the exploratory process. So for instance, we hate to be told. I mean, like, that's not rocket science. We hate to be told. We love to be asked. Mm-hmm. So I might say something like, you know, how might we, and then I could fill in the blank with whatever it is that we're trying to do. How might we come to a mutual understanding? Or how might we get you to become a more integrated team player? Or how might we grow our sales by 12%? Or how might we expand our brand impact? Or how might we figure out a way for you to use and honor my voice better? But by bringing somebody into the problem-solving process, you create space for all kinds of possibility, and they'll be far more engaged, bought in, and committed to that constructive conversation than if you're just like, well, then we need to talk about this. Like, honey, we got to talk about this. I mean, that conversation's dead on arrival.
Oh, that's so true. I'm catching. How many times have I done that? Many times. Many times.
I don't share all this because I have it completely figured out. It's like how many missteps do I have before I realize all these things are really helpful?
Yeah. And so let's talk about those missteps, because at the very beginning you were like, have you ever had those conversations where the words come out of your mouth and you're like, whoop? We've all had those conversations. I can still have those conversations. Many people around me still have those conversations. And then what do we do about it? Once the words are out of our mouth, once we verbally vomited all over someone,
You gotta own it. I call it, in my new book, own your shit and de-stink theirs. Mm-hmm. So like, just own your shit and de-stink theirs. And what I mean by that is sometimes you need to just do an apology, full stop. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just need to catch yourself. And a great way to do it is with like no drama. And so I'll be like, okay, wait a minute, Ruby. I just lied. Like, that's not at all what I meant to say. Let me say it this way. And then I'll give you what I meant to say. Or I'll be like, you know what? I just reacted, which was very human of me, but not terribly mature. So here's how I want to respond. Or it might be something like yesterday. I could be like, you know what? Yesterday I said this, didn't really mean it. It was a reaction. So now I want to respond more thoughtfully. Mm-hmm. The minute that you say, I want to respond more thoughtfully, people actually pick up that you give a shit. So you actually own, now you don't always have to apologize. Sometimes you could be like, you know, yesterday I was upset. Now I want to respond more thoughtfully because maybe you had a reason to be upset. Like right. maybe there's nothing for you to apologize for. Your response was normal, but it wasn't the best way to go. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to apologize for it. Or you can, your choice. Sometimes I'm always cautious about that, because I think sometimes women, especially, sometimes we say we're sorry and all we're doing is like taking up space. Like right. somebody bump into our shoulder and be like, oh, I'm so sorry. And it's like, what do you mean? You bumped yeah. So I just want you to realize, from my perspective, only apologize if you feel like you really do owe somebody an apology mm-hmm. for hurting their feelings, making them feel less than, or just being a jerk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really important. Because I think that the apology itself, or feeling like you might need to, can actually hold people back from owning their shit. So if there is no apology necessary, just taking responsibility for your reaction and that's right. sharing from that place is, yeah, that's powerful. And then they, of course, the people on the other end can respond how they choose to respond.
Yeah. And that's actually a really good point. I don't think you are responsible for somebody else's response. In other mm-hmm. words, if you apologize and they're not in a place to accept it, it's not your problem.
Yes.
It's not your problem. Yes. You did what you knew was the right thing to do. And now they are responsible for their own response. And I think that when we take responsibility, and it's interesting, sometimes a lot of responsibility conversations go in the wrong direction. It's about like finding blame, you know, mm-hmm. or casting blame.
Yeah.
And I really think if you can change your definition to, I'm accepting responsibility for managing and carrying either this relationship, this project, this initiative. So like if I'm taking responsibility for something, then I'm accepting assignment for managing the care, the love, the respect, the completion. It doesn't mean I have to find blame. It doesn't mean I have to cast a verdict. It just means that I took assignment. I accepted assignment for the managing and the care of this dynamic.
Yeah. And isn't that interesting how we always, like, the immediate response is always like, where can I point my finger?
Yep.
Like, who can I blame? And, you know, I think that there's definitely just societal pressure. Like, there's bad guy, there's good guy, there's like good and bad. And then there's just this innate part of us that also wants, maybe it's a primal part of us that wants to find the enemy. And really, if we all just started owning our shit, the world would be a better place.
It would. And that's, you know, I think that's part of that tough conversation too. One of the phrases that I love in a tough conversation, when you are talking about, okay, where did something go wrong? Or how did we get here? Like, where did this series of events begin? Yeah. In order to keep the defensiveness out of it, stop using the word why. So we'll always often be like, you know, why did that happen? Why did you do this? Why did they say that? And that's not helpful. A much better way to phrase it is, well, what was the thought behind?
Mm.
What led up to this? And I right. just love those phrases. What was the thought? Or, you know, what was the significance behind this? Or what was the thinking behind? But what you're doing is you're leaning in to understand rather than reaming out. And I think it's just an absolute shift. So for instance, like, I just get my hair done the other day, and somebody else totally, you know, how sometimes you hear conversations mm-hmm. things are happening. This young woman was just like, my mom was just being so snarky and she was being so critical. And I couldn't help it. I was like, okay, the next time that your mom criticizes you, just say, hey mom, what's the thought behind that comment?
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, oh my God, I'm writing that down. And then I was like, and then your second response in a tough conversation is, and how are you hoping that I respond to that?
Mm.
And all of a sudden, you take all the wind out of somebody else's snarky, critical, nasty sails. And so if I were to come to you and I'm like, you know, Ruby, mm-hmm. why on earth are you doing this podcast? And right. you could be like, huh, that's an interesting question, Amy Kate. What's the thought behind that question? Turn it back on me. Mm-hmm. And then if I say something like, well, I just don't, you know, I don't think it's a good idea. Then you could be like, huh, well, how are you hoping that I respond to that? And so you're not engaging. What you're doing is you're forcing that person to own their voice, their words.
Mm. I wish I knew that like 3 years ago, because I'm thinking about a specific situation.
Oh, I bet you are. I mean, but we've all been there. That's what I love about what it is that I do. Yeah. This is not like for two people on the planet. This is
right.
This is how humans interact and engage. Now, mm-hmm. I've lived overseas. Not all of my magical phrases translate culturally, but human emotions do.
Yeah, that's so true. Human emotions do translate. And, you know, we can either like continue to piss each other off, or we can start to communicate more effectively, whether it's in our personal lives or our professional lives, or, you know, in our platforms, such as online social media. It's just so interesting to me, because there's always like, I always see that there's two kinds of people, right? There's the kind of people who refuse to really take ownership and evolve their way of speaking or communicating. And then there's those who are really in it to continue evolving and to continue getting better. And I'm definitely one of those. I've been both. I've been the person on the one hand of like, no, I'm right. They're wrong. There's an enemy. I'm a victim. I'm just going to pout over here and that's it. And then I've evolved into this person who's like constantly learning how to communicate more effectively, because what I have found through effective communication is it leads to better things. You know, it leads you want to get something, like you've got to communicate effectively to make that happen, whether it's like a new relationship or a new opportunity or something.
Well, I think my first comment would be give yourself some grace, because yeah. I think that those are probably strategies that worked for you years ago. And what I mean by that is they kept you safe. Like being right or having an enemy was how you survived. Mm-hmm. And I think that as you grow older, what you realize is that the strategies that worked for you and that got you through maybe some very difficult experiences aren't the strategies that are now going to help you evolve in this phase of your life. Mm. So that's when communication becomes more effective. But I think that if you can give yourself grace, the strategies that we use at any moment are the strategies that we know and that keep us safe. And so a lot of times when a person's just hardcore belief, and maybe that belief isn't a belief that we share, really looking at them and figuring out why that belief makes sense to them or how that belief works for them mm-hmm. is sort of the first reflective exercise in all of us, is that clearly that's the only strategy that they have right now that makes them feel safe and secure. And one of the things that I think that's really important when we go to change our own behaviors, or when we're just mm-hmm. talking about really difficult belief systems with others, is that you never change your own belief or somebody else's with logic. Like it just doesn't right. work. It's not how the brain works. You can only change a belief with a new belief. Mm-hmm. And so until you are ready to accept the fact that, well, you don't really have to be right and you're still amazing, or the world doesn't exactly work the way that the stories in your head had it working 10 years ago, then you're ready to believe something different.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true.
It's not mine. I mean, it's not like I sat on a hill and came up with it. I mean, it's been around for years, but it was very eye-opening for me to realize too, because I'm very self-critical. A lot of entrepreneurs are, a lot of go-getters. Mm-hmm. We're all overachievers or people pleasers. And one of yes. the biggest things that we can do is to let down the baggage that worked for us 10 years ago, because it is just not working for us now.
Yeah, totally. It's like, I do this work with my clients. It's like we create these safety mechanisms that definitely helped us, served us, and yet we continue to do it. And at some point it flips and it's like actually damaging.
Yep.
And it's not doing what we intend it to do. And so we have to learn a different way of like showing up, of being a new belief to something else. Like you said, like just to change the way in which we are presenting ourselves and showing up in this world so that we can start to move towards what we actually want versus pushing all that shit away.
Yeah. And I think one of the coolest things to do is to remind yourself that your external world is a reflection of your internal world, not vice versa. Like yeah. you really do develop belief systems and then find all this confirmation bias out in the world to prove mm-hmm. yourself right. And so the minute that you change a belief, your whole interaction changes. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's one of those things where if you really think somebody's a jerk, you'll find a million things that point you to be right. If right. you think that they're lovely, then you'll find a million ways to find that they're right. And the day that they act like a jerk, you'll excuse it away. So yeah. It's just fascinating to me how, you know, it's all bullshit. It's just all, we make it up all the time.
This whole life is made up. We're actually living in the Matrix.
We are. We know that. I don't think, you know, take it with a grain of salt, but it's really true in the sense that, like, if we walk into a conversation and we're like, this conversation, oh my gosh, it's not going to go well, you will prove yourself right.
Right.
You know, if you go in and you're like, okay, I can do this. This is, you know, this is not going to be the easiest conversation that I've had, but I can totally do this. You will be amazed at how well it goes.
Yeah, truly. I mean, there's been so many times when I myself have felt this, and I know my clients have said this, like, oh, like, I feel like I have to have a difficult conversation. And then one day I thought to myself, well, is it that it's difficult? Or do we just need to be a little more courageous? And so for one of my clients, I flipped it. I said, well, maybe it's a courageous conversation that you have to have. And she walked into that conversation with her chest high. She's like, I'm about to have a courageous conversation. So yeah, it's totally about how we position it. And yet I still, like, I'll admit, I'll be like, damn it, now I have to have this difficult conversation. Wait, no, it's courageous.
Yeah.
And so it's just like catching ourselves in those moments, because yeah, we can set it up. We can set the tone just from the energy that we're bringing in.
Absolutely. And I think that that's actually one of the things that I talk about, is that your energy, you know, people pick up on exactly how you want them to feel with the words that you say and how you say them. Like, I can either be affirming and supportive just by the words that I say and how I say them, or I can make you feel like shit with the words that I say and how I say them. And so I think that we have to take responsibility. And I love the fact that you're flipping your own story into the courageous conversation. Because I tell people, look, the whole point of a tough conversation is to get you the life that you desire.
Yes.
I really believe that the life that we desire is on the other side of a tough conversation. So if you can get through that tough conversation without saying something that you regret, without giving your power away, without damaging the relationship, booyah.
It's right. Like,
you get what you want.
Yeah. I mean, if you do say something that you regret or damage the relationship, I think you wouldn't end up getting what you want, right?
You don't.
Because you, yeah.
You totally don't. And that's kind of the, I was on a plane last year, and it was just a frustrating trip for a myriad of reasons. And again, just being vulnerable. And I sat down on the plane and I was just like, you know, how the F do I get what I want? Like, just, you know, and it was like, okay, wait a minute, stop. You get it one conversation at a time, including this conversation with yourself. Mm-hmm. So buck up, Chucky. Like, and so it's like, but that really is one of my inherent beliefs, is that you actually get what you want one profitable conversation at a time. Mm-hmm. And a profitable conversation isn't just money. It's time, energy, it's relationships healed, it's boundaries established, it's like ideas innovated upon. I mean, there's a lot of ways to define profitability. So, like, courageous conversation, this is going to be a profitable conversation. It's kind of the language that I use, and just saying, I'm going to go in and I'm going to make sure that this makes a difference in somebody's life. Like, I'm just going to reduce the suffering.
Right. It's going to help, not hurt.
Totally.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. What are some, you've already offered some fucking amazing, amazing tips here.
Thanks.
So to our listeners, if you're driving and you have to re-listen to this to write that shit down, do it. Because I have been taking notes myself.
I love what I do. It works, and I know it works.
It really does. Are there any other tips that you would love to share to our thought leaders, to our listeners, to our entrepreneurs, knowing their struggles, because you yourself are a leader, you yourself are an entrepreneur?
I don't say do this all the time, because it's just not realistic. Okay. But I think one of the things that we can do to really set ourselves up for success is to prepare for that conversation on the horizon that we really know has to go well. Now, it could be a critical conversation, but critical is not negative. Like, critical could be, I want to win this deal, or I want this to go well, or I want us to hug at the end of this conversation. Now, it could be a difficult employee or a difficult colleague or shareholder, client, customer, what, a family member, whatever. But it doesn't have to be negative. But I tell, let me actually phrase that differently. I ask my clients to respect themselves enough to prepare for that conversation, because most of the time they wing it and it goes fine. But there are times when you wing it and it bites you on the butt. And so I love the idea that if you think you've got this difficult or critical conversation on the horizon, that you're going to take the time to say, okay, what's my overarching frame? Is there a how might we question that I could pose? Is there another one or two questions, like can we agree on or where might we start? And then what do you really want as an outcome? Not necessarily long-term, but in this particular conversation, where are you looking to connect? Where are you looking to make meaning? Where are you looking to shift either a mindset or a story or an action? And then always, 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 always end a conversation with action. You're either going to offer to do something or you're going to request that somebody else does something for you or both. But never just be like, oh, Ruby, thanks for your time. You know, oh, I'm so glad we talked about this. But make sure that you end it with, I'm going to offer something up or I'm going to request something in return.
Wow. You just offered like a whole fucking tactic right there.
Yes, but it's not hard. It's not right. Rocket science.
Yeah, but we have to, I think what makes it feel hard is because we have trained ourselves to communicate in a different way. So this is just like a retraining. Like this is just training yourself. I mean, has it gotten easier for you to communicate in this matter? Okay, great. So just wanted the audience to hear that.
Yeah, and my clients, have to, and it's interesting because I'm not a therapist. Like I am not. And in my coaching contract, I say I'm a coach, biz strategist, consultant, but I'm not a therapist. And then you end up talking about everything, right?
Right.
And one of the things that's really cool, like my wins this year, is that I'm coaching CEOs of huge multi-million dollar companies. And then some of the most life-changing, and I say that seriously, life-changing work that I do is when they will call and say, well, my marriage is better than it's ever been in 30 years. Mm-hmm. Or I'm now speaking to my daughter. Or I was going to have to sell the company because my business partner was driving me insane. And now we're getting on better than we have in years. That's because these tools work.
Yeah. Wow. That's incredible. That's incredible. You do some incredible work, Amy Kay. I am so...
My clients do. I just give them the tools. You do the heavy lifting.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today. We're at the end of the episode and you just shared so many bombs of wisdom that I know if you apply these techniques to your conversations, whether they are written online or in person, you will start to communicate in a better way, in a way that actually helps and not hurts. So Amy Kay, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It was a privilege.
And why don't you tell our listeners how they can stalk you online if they want to get more of you?
Yeah, we make it really easy. You can go to amyk.com, which is just four letters, amyk.com. And we have tons of free tools. So I really invite you to take a look at all the conversation tools that we have about, you know, your internal mindset and stress or managing up a difficult boss or trying to get more sales or just preparing. We have all kinds of free stuff on our website.
Love that. Awesome. So I'm going to have that link in the show notes and more. Amy Kay, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you, and to our listeners, thank you so much for joining me and Amy Kay on today's Thought Leader, where we are challenging you to rise up, speak up, and create a movement. If you love this episode with us, please share it with a friend. Sharing is caring. And then be sure to drop a rating and review on iTunes. And then if you have any questions for either myself or for Amy Kay, reach out to us on social media. My handle is at @IamRuby and Amy Kay's handle is at Amy Kay Hutchins. Again, those links will be in the show notes. I will see you back here on Thursday for a brand new episode of today's Thought Leader.